Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Happy Father's Day, Summit Church. Can we ask the fathers to take a minute and stand so we can recognize you, all the fathers in the house? Why don't you stand up? Awesome, awesome. Come on, Summit family, can you celebrate the men, the fathers in the house? I love it. Happy Father's Day. I had a friend of mine post on Facebook this morning. It's hilarious. He's actually coming to speak here in a couple weeks. Bryn Waddell on the 30th. You don't want to miss that. Bryn, he posted on his Facebook today. He said, "Happy Father's Day to me. I buy you kids all the toys you need. I pay for all your meals. I tote all of your chairs to the beach, umbrellas, and everything you need. And then I feed you," and just he goes on and on and on about Happy Father's Day to me. And I got a little laugh out of that. I thought, you know what? Yeah. Happy Father's Day to me. Happy Father's Day to you fathers. All the stuff you do for your family, it doesn't go unnoticed. Your family loves you. They celebrate you. We celebrate you as a church, and we thank you for being you. Awesome. Can we hit the lights if we can, please? Thank you guys in the back. Doing a great job. Our sound and media technicians, they do an amazing job every week. Thank you guys so much. Awesome, awesome. Well, I've got so much stirring in my heart and spirit this morning. The 9 a.m. service, we had a real special wind blow through the house, and it just kind of messed things up. So I had my message compressed that I was planning on teaching every service today compressed. I was able to teach it in about 20 minutes. And then I get in this service, and the Lord says, "I want you to throw that one out the window. I've got something else I want you to talk about." And so I love it how we have our plans and he has his plans. And I find it so much easier just to submit and yield to his plans. Because I've learned my lesson. Many times I've done my plans, and they just don't work out the same. It's so true. So true. So I felt just in the first service, kind of the Lord launched me into what I'm going to talk about now. Something that I'm passionate about, something that I'm really jealous for the church to get a hold of, because so many times in ministry, you know, our life in ministry is really laid down and given to watching people and helping people get set free, to come out of darkness and into marvelous light. And at times, to be honest, it can be very, you have to have a lot of patience and grace, but at the same time, it can be I don't want to use the word frustrating, but frustrating. Yeah, I'll use that word. Watching people make the same mistakes over and over again when it comes down to very easy and simple practical things the Bible teaches on how to stay free. And a couple of those I want to talk to you about this morning. And really, it's coming out of agreement with darkness and in agreement with what heaven says. It's changing your agreement. I love what Bill Johnson says. He made a statement recently. He said, complaining proves nothing other than that you can hear from the devil. Thought, mind blown, Bill Johnson, heavy revy, you know. Complaining proves nothing other than that you can hear from the devil. And it's so true. And all really it is coming out of agreement with circumstances and stepping into agreement with promises. Your circumstances do not define you. They don't define the love of God over your life. Every challenge, trial, situation, issue, that is not a manifestation of God's disapproval. Oftentimes, it's just called life, friends. And life is waiting on you to manifest real life, which is going through your challenges, recognizing that he that is within me gives me the eternal hope of glory, and I can release that to the world and culture around me. So many times we don't do that. We get caught up in our mind agrees with what we see. Therefore, our life produces a response to that agreement, which many times is destruction. And it's coming out of agreement. And so how do you get in agreement? Well, first of all, the battle is over your thoughts. That's where the battleground is. If you can win the war in your mind, you can accomplish absolutely anything. the war right here in your mind. If you can win the war right here, you can accomplish anything. And the greatest battle over personal victory in any area that you're struggling with, in any area, starts with the mind. Satan has no power whatsoever over you. Nothing. He has no power. You've heard me teach this before. I'm passionate about this. I'll teach this till my last breath. Colossians chapter 2 says, Satan is powerless. His weapons of warfare, his arsenal was removed at Calvary. He has no power to do anything over your life or any force. All he has to work with are lies. So where do lies attack? The mind. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If truth sets you free, then it's the lie that keeps you bound. So often we believe lies. We come in agreement with the lies of Satan. Therefore, our life follows the fruit of those lies. And then we make up just really silly excuses for why things are the way they are. We say, well, this must be God's will. This just must be, you know, what the Lord wants for my life. In all reality, it's not. You can trace it back to the lie that you believe that ultimately has a stronghold on you. A stronghold is not this strong demon. It's a lie that has a stronghold. And that stronghold will actually limit you from manifesting the fullness of God in your life. And it has to start right here with how you think. And how do we need to think? Do we think the way we feel? Do we think what culture tells us is appropriate or acceptable? No, absolutely not. How we think is actually found in the Word. This is the governing anchor for how we should produce our thoughts, and what our thoughts dwell on is actually found in the Word. Amen? So the greatest battle over personal victory starts in your mind. And the evidence, this is so important, this is what I want to talk about this morning, because the evidence of what's in your mind actually comes out through the fruit of your lips. What's in your thoughts will always come out by way of the fruit of what you say. So what you say is oftentimes determined by what you're thinking. And how you change your thinking is oftentimes you have to step out and say what many times you don't even believe yet. And this is where speaking words of faith comes in. And people say, well, I don't want to do that because I feel fake. Well, you know, I'm not telling you to fake it till you make it, but, you know, say it till you fake, say it till you make it. We'll say that. How about that? Say it till you make it. How you think becomes what you speak, and what you speak naturally becomes your reality. And in essence, you create your world. You create your world. Proverbs 23:7 talks about this. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So your circumstances don't have to be the way they are if you change the way you think, because how you think about yourself is what you are, what you produce. That's why you have to come in agreement with what God says over you. Coming in agreement with what heaven says over you will cause that belief system to be in your heart and mind, and then you can begin to decree and say what you are, which is what heaven says about you, not what you say about yourself, or not maybe whatever skewed lie the enemy has decreed over you. Amen? Is this okay? So Proverbs 18:21, it goes a little further. It says, life and death are where? The power of the tongue. What you say has power. What you declare has power. About 8 months ago, I taught a message here, and the Lord just gripped me with this. He said, tell my people to begin, quit describing what they're going through and start declaring what God says about them. Yeah. So many times we describe the problem instead of declare the solution, or describe the issue instead of declare the word of the Lord. And I think we need to have a reminder this morning. Don't describe the problem. Declare the solution. What's the solution? Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the solution. Always is. So what you say becomes your reality. This is so important to me. I'm so passionate about this because even just over the last couple weeks, I've just been reminded again and again just about the goodness of the Father and how He leads us according to His perfect plan and will. And oftentimes He gives us glimpses and He shows us little just, I don't know, like key connection points about what He has for our future. And over the last couple weeks, really, I've been meditating. I've had a lot of time to really think about this. And I've been in a season where I've been asking God, Lord, help us as a people launch into what's next. Colleen said it to me in between service. I think, Colleen, what you're even picking up on is not so much even personal assignment, but even corporate too. Like, Colleen said she had this vision where she was kind of like in neutral. And I hope I'm not throwing your stuff that you tell me out there. I felt like it was a prophetic word, even as you were saying it, like even to our body. Like, you know, the Lord wants to launch us into, I believe, the next motion that he has, the next place of advancement, even corporately for this body. And oftentimes, in order to get where you're going, you have to understand the journey and where he started you from. And because that journey helps play a key role in thanksgiving, of being thankful from what he brought you from, and thanksgiving becomes a launching pad to shoot you into where you're going. So over the last couple of weeks, I've just been thanking God. And you know what it's done? It's produced a tenderness in my heart. I told Nikki the other night, we went on a date night, intended to go to the riverboat, but then I got there. I wanted it to be a little bit more classy. I found out they were serving hot dogs. So I said, let's go somewhere else. We'll bring the kids back here. So we went to something else a little bit more fine dining and enjoyed the evening. But I was telling Nikki the other night, there's something that's been happening to me that it's really supernatural. And I believe it's a sign and witness in my own personal heart that I'm connected to the land here in Edmonton and even to the assignment here. Because I've been I've been outside at times. There's certain smells that I smell. I shared this with Josh the other day, that just how these smells in Edmonton move my heart. And lately, there's certain smells of the outdoors that have been causing me literally to weep. Like I'll smell them and I'm like, it just smells like heaven, where I'll literally begin to just weep and get teary-eyed. And the Lord says it's a witness that you're connected to the land here. It's a witness that produces a tenderness that this is your assignment. And so rejoice and be thankful for what I'm doing in your heart, because it's actually going to be a catalyst that launches you forward. Now, I want to say this. I shared this a couple weeks ago. Don't speak curse words over this city, because this city is my promised land. And I'm telling you, you've got to see where you live as your promised land, not the curse that you dwell in. And I'm telling you, if you see it right and you see what heaven says over the place you dwell, you begin to see things in a whole new light and fashion, and it'll give you the ability to step into thankfulness, and thankfulness will launch you into the fullness of your assignment. Man, I don't know if this is just for me or what, but I don't know. So I begin to just thank God, you know, and decree what heaven's saying. And so oftentimes, and I'm going to use my life as just a little bit as a example of a prophetic witness, so that maybe you can search your story. You know, and even getting Nikki and I here to this point right now, June 16th on Father's Day 2019, was an over a 10-year journey. And I'm just constantly thanking God for that journey. Thanking God for every dream, every prophetic witness, every obstacle, every trial, every person that said that I was making a wrong choice and not letting that grip my heart. And I was just reminded to be thankful of the journey and the promises of God. And this is going to tie into a lot this morning. By the end of this service, we're going to declare a couple things over us, power of agreement and power of declaration. And then I also feel like I was supposed to, in this service, specifically this service, this is what I felt like heaven was speaking to me about during worship, is that I'm supposed to pray over you, those of you that you want dreams activated, to hear God clearly for the journey. And Mike, you helped me kind of facilitate that in our conversation in the foyer this morning. And so I felt like at leaving that, I came in the sanctuary and the Lord said, I want you to pray and activate the dream language in this house, because it's going to be important for where we're going. And it's something that I do have an authority and faith, because it's how God speaks to me constantly. It's through dreams. I had a dream last night. Nikki and I went and we ate breakfast yesterday at the Rutherford House, the first premier in Alberta. They have a little cool restaurant down there, and Nikki's always trying to find the cool, like, breakfast spots that are kind of hidden, and, you know, not just Denny's, you know, IHOP. You know, I mean, like a real deal. This was like a 4-course brunch. I mean, it was amazing. What was the place called? Vintage. A name like Vintage Fork. You just gotta go try that out, right? they should sow an offering for all the publicity I'm giving them right now, because their breakfast was not cheap. And if, but so we. We're eating breakfast. There's cool little, like, just place, a little bit of history too. And walking in the Rutherford House, my spirit honestly began to leap, because I love the old architecture and like the old early 1900s style. I could just imagine them, you know, hosting parties there. And I was just like trying to tap into almost like the synergy of the ages when I walked in and I'm looking around. And it reminded me of a house that Nikki and I used to live in when we were first married in a small town called Brantley, Alabama, way in the deep south. It was an early house built in the 1900s like that. It was honestly my favorite house we ever lived in. I just love the old style, the old architecture, a Victorian. Would that be I don't know what it is up here, but yeah, the craftsmanship, but just cool. So I had a dream last night that I was sitting in that house. And in the house, there was in the dream, I knew that there were people outside sowing seeds of witchcraft. And I literally woke up out of the dream last night, pacing the floor, just declaring the goodness of God and the plans of Jesus. And I really felt like it was almost like even me being there, the Lord gave me a glimpse into some history of Edmonton and just some witchcraft stuff that has gone on in this city, right there by the river. And if you know me, I'm not a person that draws any attention to that. However, it was a fresh dream from last night. And I felt like the Lord said, you just need to wake up and just decree heaven's plans over Edmonton, that the enemy's plans are trying to prevail, but they won't. Just open your mouth and decree the kingdom of heaven be established in Edmonton. And God can just, it's amazing how he'll talk to you just through dreams, you know? And when you hear the dream or you're in a dream and God speaks to you, you can wake up and start decreeing heaven's plans over you from the witness that he gives you in a prophetic moment like that. And so I've had multiple of those tying me to this land. And it's just amazing. I want to share a couple of them with you this morning. And just to stir some faith for you. That's the only real reason, just to stir faith. It was in 2014. I saw Brett here, Brett Andrews, one of our interns from Sylvan Lake back in the day. And Brett, it's good to see you. And it kind of reminded me, even talking to Brett, that I was in a season where I was pastoring in Florida, and I was in such turmoil. And the turmoil was a tension of knowing that my future assignment is meant to be right here. But I had all this responsibility of overseeing several churches, pastoring a church. And when you're in tension, you know that you're supposed to be somewhere, but you have unfinished business where you are. The tension is often like being present where you are without being so focused on where you're going. I think we can be so prophetic that we're not present where we are. We're always looking to where we're going, and that's a problem. If you're so prophetic, you're always waiting for tomorrow, you'll never be present in the day that you're living in. And that's the dichotomy and the tension of dreams and prophetic ministry, is God will show you something, but you still have to have the maturity to be present in the hour and the day that you're in. The tension for me in that season was I was in both places at once. And I was teaching an internship at Frontline. And Laura was helping a part of that. She was a part of the leadership team there. And it was an amazing time with young students and just trying to pour in revival to these young men and women. But I was still pastoring, so I'd come stay here for 2 weeks. I'd be home for, you know, a weekend. I'd come back up for a week and kind of back and forth for about 3 months. And during this time, I was on the phone with Apostle Damon, I mean, almost daily it felt like, having him help me navigate the tension that I'm feeling, that I'm supposed to be in a place full time, but I've got all this responsibility here. And I remember laying down. And one afternoon, and I was staying with a man named Dr. Rudy, staying at his house, and I was in his basement. And I do often what I call holy leisure. It's a holy nap. My kids, I was having to explain to them what this is yesterday. When they asked me what I was doing when I got home from the family group barbecue, they said, "Daddy, what are we doing?" I said, "Daddy is going to take a holy nap." And Micaiah's like, "What's a holy nap?" I said, "Well, it's easy. You just pray in tongues till you fall asleep, and you ask God for a dream." And so it was kind of one of those afternoons. I went back after a Sunday morning service. I just got done preaching, laid my head down for a holy nap. And I specifically that day remember asking, I said, "Lord, I'm in so much tension. I need a dream. I need something for you to clearly communicate that I'm on the right path here. I don't want to go back and forth anymore. I want to be here. I need to know something, but I don't know how to get to where I'm going." Have you ever felt like that? Like you know that you're supposed to be doing something, but you have no clue. You're powerless. How to step into what you're supposed to be doing. You're just powerless. I asked the Lord, I said, show me what I need to know. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I was walking in a hotel room. And I step in through the side door. And I was there with Apostle Damon and his dad, Ike. That we were all together. And we're walking in. And we're going like in the side of a hotel room to our room. And we're walking down this hallway. And a certain revival minister from Canada was there. He's a very well-known, I'm not going to say his name, but he was there. And he kind of represents revival in a previous season in Canada. And I remember he was trying to get our attention. He's like, hey, we need to talk to you. And I want to chat with you. And everybody was following Damon. And Damon's walking, he's leading. And if you don't know who Damon is, look him up. He's a father of the house and powerful voice in mine and Nikki's life. And so this revival leader looked at me like, hey, how come Damon is ignoring me? And Damon does that a lot in real life. So I'm constantly having to answer that question to people. And so I just told the guy, I said, he's in a real zone right now. Just leave him alone. He's just with the Lord. And so we walk to the room, to the hotel room, and we open the door. And all of the Daniel Company interns' clothes are slung everywhere like they were staying in the room. And Damon looked real frustrated at this point. He said, Chris, go down to the desk and figure out whose stuff this is. Out of my spirit, I already knew. I said, this is the Daniel Company stuff. He said, well, go figure out where our room is. So I run downstairs, and the guy at the counter, he says, hey, Mr. Mathis, you're in the wrong room. I said, I know, but I'm in the room that you put me. And the dream woke up. And the Spirit of God showed me that ultimately, during that season, that wasn't the door. However, it was the only thing that was available at that time to help get my feet on the ground till my heart could get knitted. About 3 weeks later, I said, God, I need another dream. That's not like I need to know this prophetic journey. I said, Lord, what is it? And I had another dream. And in the dream, I was driving my vehicle, a truck, from Florida to Canada. This is in 2014. And clear as day, can still see this. And again, Damon and his father, Ike's in the truck with me. They're sitting in the back seat. And I'm driving across the border. And as soon as I get there, there's this massive celebration, like confetti. And there's people hitting, what are those things called down in Mexico? Piñata. Hitting the piñatas. And there's like all of this like celebration. And I remember fear in my heart. Like, oh my gosh, when I get to the border, the celebration's going. But when I get to the border, what if they tell me I can't come? I've had that happen before. I can remember feeling that in the dream. And all of a sudden, the guy at the border takes his passport and stamps my passport. And it's specifically read in large red bold letters, welcome approved. And when I woke up, heaven says, be at peace. I'm with you. Your assignment is going to be there, but you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. And so honestly, you know what happens when dreams come like that and time goes on? Oftentimes we forget and we even question. So that's 2014. 2 years go by and I'm still questioning. God, here I am. I've got this tension to the point where I literally had to die to what the Lord said to be faithful in the season presently that I was in. Because I would walk in my church and not even want to be there. That's a horrible feeling. It's a horrible feeling. But I know what that feeling feels like. Knowing that your assignment is somewhere else in the future. But you've still got to be faithful where you are. It's miserable. But the grace was slowly lifting. And it was right after we made a commitment. And we said, you know what? No. We're going to be here. There's no real sign or witness yet. Which clearly looking back, there was all kinds of puzzle pieces putting together. And I was in Illinois, and some of you have heard this story, in a hunting stand in a tree. And the Holy Spirit starts to whisper to me, as soon as you get home from this trip, put the house up for sale. You're moving to Canada. I was in the tree. The wind starts blowing. Leaves start falling out of the tree. I didn't even recognize this at climbing the tree. I've been a climber. I mean, you're climbing all the way up. And I didn't even recognize this until the voice of the Lord speaks. I was in a maple tree, and maple leaves start falling all over me. You talk about messed up, friend. I looked like Pastor Saia during transition on steroids. Just tears streaming down my face, knowing that, okay, here we go. Why am I saying this? Dreams are important, and it's also important what you declare from those dreams. It's important what you declare. If you're saying, you know what, I've never had a dream, I'm going to pray for you that God would start to speak to this company. I feel like it's another missing key that this house is going to step into, the prophetic language of God through dreams. Through dreams. And I believe he's going to start showing some of you your future personal assignment that heaven has for you. You say, oh, that's weird. I don't know about that. Well, you can stay not knowing what heaven wants for you if you want to. Not me. I choose to link arms with the Spirit of God and say, Lord, I want the dreams of heaven. I want what Daniel had. I want what Joseph had when he would dream and God would show him in the night dreams and visions. I want what Joel 2 prophesies, that in the last days we would dream dreams and see visions. These are the promises of Scripture. And oftentimes, because we don't ask for it, we don't decree it, so we lack it, and we don't walk in it. Now, I would even be willing and safe to say there are many of you in this room that you already dream, but you haven't really taken it seriously or connected the dots that it's actually the Father speaking to you in the night hour. It's the Father speaking to you in the night hour. It's important. It's important. We recognize the magnitude and the weight when God gives us something. I've had this seasons where I didn't hold the value of it in my heart, and they quit coming. There's other times where I've valued the dream language of God and write them down, value them, pray over them. And you know what happens when you steward that well is God keeps giving them to you. What we don't value, heaven will withhold. What you do value and honor, heaven will continue to release. That's why we say this principle in every area. That's why we don't just celebrate cancer leaving. We had a lady in our church that stage 4 cancer left her body a couple months ago. Church celebrated 9 a.m. service. We rejoiced and celebrated when we shared that testimony. She got up and shared. But we celebrate cancer stage 4 the same way we do a headache leaving someone. Because if it's God's power that releases how we celebrate, and what we honor will actually cause heaven to continue to keep pouring out. The moment we stop honoring and stop celebrating and stop remaining thankfulness, that's the moment that heaven actually has the potential to withhold. And so we speak things that are not as though they are, and we declare, and we speak life, and we celebrate, and we say, yay, God, keep doing it. Give me more. And if I see the Father using an individual in that area, I'm not going to get jealous and say, oh, why not me? Why did you pick them? I'm going to celebrate what you're doing in them, but I am going to be jealous for the gift. That's the one thing that heaven gives you permission to actually be jealous of. Not the person, but for what somebody's operating in. That's why Paul wrote this in Corinthians. He says, covet the best gifts. Well, I mean, everywhere else in Scripture it says don't covet anything. You know, I mean, we shouldn't covet, but Paul gives us permission. He says, when you see somebody walking in supernatural power and favor from God, you need to covet that. Run after that. Be jealous for that, because that jealousy is actually articulated as hunger. I want that. And when you have hunger for that, heaven will respond, and you'll attract it. You'll attract it. So I want it. I want the tears that Cy has. I want the faith that Holly has. I want the voice that Nikki and Aaron has. I want the shredding skills that Chris has. I want the math brains that Tracy has. Can't have everything, I guess, you know. Right? No, but in the spirit you can. Like when you hear someone singing in tongues and you haven't been baptized in the Spirit with the evidence speaking to, value that. Crave that. Say, I want that, God. Get around them. You know, we've heard people say over the years, don't chase signs and wonders. Let them chase you. But if they're not chasing you, get around people that they are chasing until they do chase you. Like we've got to value what heaven gives us in such a way where we don't fear it and reject it. And I think that's what the church has done far too long. We've said, well, that's just for the special few. No, it's not, friend. That's for the believer. It's for those that hunger and thirst, and God wants to give it to you. Amen? But this takes faith, and faith is not a product of your mind. Faith is a product of your spirit. Faith isn't believing. Faith is knowing. Faith isn't just believing. It's knowing. And we need faith to access this. How does faith come? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Let's have a conversation. Faith comes three ways. Number one, by God, every single person in this room has been given a measure of faith. That's what the word says. Every person. So this idea of atheists and agnostics and people that just don't believe God, it's a lie. Take them really high in the air, push them out of an airplane. They will start calling on God very quickly. Because it's in the DNA of every human being. The breath of God is in every person in this room. You are a spirit being. There's a part of you that has a measure of faith. But because the world has skewed our thinking and unbelief has crept in through humanism and all this other stuff, it has suppressed the faith that you actually do possess. So faith comes by God. Now, there's some people that have a greater measure of faith than others. There's some people that do that. You know, I heard a very famous minister recently on Facebook say that inner healing and deliverance is actually of Satan. And if I told you this guy's name, you'd probably be tempted to agree with it. So I'm not going to say his name. You know, he basically says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't want to bring any shame to that person or difference of thought pattern to the individual. What I heard was, no, you have a measure of faith that's greater than many people's. And so because your measure of faith is greater, you can't push the person that may need inner healing because they don't have the measure of faith that you do. Inner healing is actually for people that don't have the measure of faith to be free instantly and step into the fullness of what the promises of heaven have for us. Provision's been made at the cross that you could be free in a moment, but many people don't have the faith to step right into that. So layers have to come off. And so everybody is given a measure of faith, and we need to honor the measure of faith in everyone and ask God to increase that faith. Number two, faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing by what? Man, you know your Bible today. Where's that at? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. 17 or 19? 17. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. There it is. So faith increases when you spend time reading this word. You know, I've never come out of an hour session of reading this Bible and felt like really locked in and felt like I was faithless. After reading this Bible, you can tangibly feel faith arise and increase that, you know what, these promises are for me. That I can do all things according to Christ who gives me the strength I need. I can be who God says I am. I have faith. When you read the word, why? Because it's alive. So Holly got up in the 9 a.m. service and she was sharing how reading Paul's story on the Damascus Road, just awakened her, and she's read it thousands of times, the same story. But today it was like, boom, she felt just it in her heart and spirits because the word is alive and it does that. And it's not like reading, you know, Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. It's not like it's going to pop off the pages and be like, boom, oh my gosh, tears are flowing because of the Green Eggs and Ham. It has no power to do that because it's not the word of the Lord. But when you get in the written, living, scriptural, authentic, living word of the Lord, it's alive and it has tangible ability to jump off the pages into your heart and spirit and produce life. Life. We have a lifeless generation because we have a generation that does not value the word. And we look at the word and we look at culture and we say, well, you know, we're going to bend that word to fit culture in the way it is present tense today. And nowhere in scripture do you find that. You don't find the early church bending the words of Jesus to fit the day of their culture. They moved and bent their lifestyle, as uncomfortable as it may have been and challenging as it may have been, to fit and mold the living word of God and say, Father, make me in your image, not the image of culture around me. And we have a lot of fallen state in the church that I think would be immediately broken by shifting and getting in a revival of the word. Literally a revival of the Bible. Number three, faith also comes by the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of faith. Gift of faith. The gift of faith is like Smith Wigglesworth faith. Like the kind of faith that has the ability to raise people from the dead. Like a David Hogan kind of faith. The gift of faith. This is not just a measure of faith that God gives you. This is a faith that knows. It doesn't just believe. It doesn't just hope. This is actually a faith that says, He will. Because He is. Because I know. And they can manifest that gift of faith and literally mountains move. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's small. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can actually speak to a mountain, command the mountain to be removed and cast into a sea. And Jesus is giving a measure of what can happen based on the small amount of faith. Imagine a gift of faith. Now, we've all got mountains in this room. I believe Jesus was talking literally, but I also believe he was talking spiritually, because we understand Jesus was taken to a high mountain by Satan and shown all the kingdoms of the world. There's not a mountain in Israel that you can climb and see all the kingdoms of the world. It was a spiritual mountain. I believe Jesus primarily is talking about spiritual mountains. You can speak to any obstacle in your life, and if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say, be removed, and it'll be removed and cast into the sea. But we don't see that very much because we like to talk about the mountain instead of to it. We like to describe the mountain instead of declare the promises of God over the mountain. Did you see my mountain? Did you see the mountain that I had this week? All those people, did you see the mountain? Somebody created an Instagram account and told me I was a false prophet. Can you believe that? And said the Summit Church is a cult. Can you believe that? This actually happened, by the way. This is the first time I've actually talked about it, because I don't talk about my mountain. I'm using humor here. You speak to the mountain. It was humorous a little bit. It was humorous. I honestly celebrated when I saw it, because I said, I've arrived. Woo! I'm with the greats. Thank you. Yeah. I kind of got disappointed when they took it down. I thought, man, they took it down 3 days later. I thought, oh, man. Does that mean I'm not with the greats anymore? Because every great person that does anything for the gospel or anything for Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution, right? But oftentimes we talk about the mountain, like describing the problem that we're going through, describing the circumstance, describing the situation, and describing the mountain does not remove the mountain. Speaking to the mountain in faith and declaring it has to be removed is the thing that solves the problem that we're going through. But oftentimes we're enamored with the mountain in front of us. Come on. And calling sister gossip and bucket mouth to talk about your mountain, friend, is not the solution. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, seriously, get with people that have an element of faith that can hold you accountable with what you're going through. And when you do get tempted to talk about it, say, no, friend, I'm sorry. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to declare. Let's touch and agree, because anything we touch and agree, asking anything, He will do. We're going to declare and speak to the mountain. We're not going to talk about it. Come on. Is this good? You okay? It's a good word. I don't care where you're from. Because what you talk about grows. What you talk to moves. Sometimes the problems that we're going through, they're continually growing. It's like allergy or mold and underneath a bucket that's covered up, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Allergy or algae, whatever. Whatever. Don't mess with my southern redneck Alabama vernacular. Algae. Mold, whatever. Whatever. You understood it, obviously. Romans 4:17 says, decree a thing and it shall be established. Decree a thing. So you know what I was doing when those dreams were happening? You know what I would do? I'd wake up and I'd start decreeing over Edmonton years ago. I can remember the first time that Nikki and I flew up to Edmonton when God started talking to us about a family here. Not a church, a family. not a church, a movement, not something that we just gather and meet. The spirit of revival dwelling here was back in 2008. We flew up and went to the Parliament building in the middle of winter in February and stood out in front of that Parliament building with a couple pastors that we brought with us and just declaring, this city shall be a city set on a hill. This ground belongs to the Lord. And you know, and I love the docks because Harry, you and Ava came over to the house and met with us on that trip. And I can remember just seeing you weep during that time, just longing for what we were hearing and feeling because it was in you as well. And this is what God does. Now look at this. This has been over 10 years later where a dream is beginning to be established, and it's not about another church, and it's not about a worship team, and it's not about a man. It's about a garden being planted in a place called Edmonton where sons and daughters can walk with him in the cool of the day. It's where people can walk outside and not look at the agenda of a liberal system. They can see heaven touching earth, and when they smell the roses, they start weeping, and when they smell the trees, they say, this is the ground that I was called to. But it starts as a seed in a dream. It starts with you saying, Father, help me connect to what heaven has and says over my life. And help me speak only what heaven says and only what heaven hears and only what heaven is saying. Let me just be a mouthpiece and a vocalization to culture of what Abba is decreeing and saying. What is he saying to you? What is he saying to you? Colleen, he's shifting you out of neutral. He's shifting this house out of neutral. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm just asking the Father, Lord, help us be so careful not to take a step ahead of you or stay a step behind you, but release what heaven has. Give us the blueprint. Give us the plan. When it's time to plant another campus and expand our... show us, God. Speak to this house so that we can be faithful to... move when you're saying move. And I'm not going to be bound by resources or limited resources either. We're going to decree a thing and it shall be established. I told you a few months ago, man, the budget that I have, and it's small. This is just one portion. This is just first phase is $25 million to see what I see God doing in this city. That's phase one, $25 million. You think, what in the world are you going to do with that? I promise you, you give me $25 million and we will see an element of revival because revival takes resources. Because we'll plant a school where your children will come and be equipped, not just on academia, but they'll be equipped to pray in the Spirit. Come on, we'll have a daycare that our teachers will lay hands on the children every single day and say, it doesn't matter what the government says we can or can't teach. Friend, if they're teaching all the stuff they're teaching, my God, we're gonna be a city set on a hill, and we will institute the word of the Lord in righteousness into the heartbeat of our children. Come on, I have a plan to have buses that navigate all over this city, not just to pick up people, but food buses, food trucks to be able to feed the homeless. I see a house of refuge where we have a place that the addict can come and the prostitute can come and people can come and live for a year and be equipped and transformed and be discipled properly. I see a school of ministry. I see a school of ministry, a four-year place where people can come, not just getting good theology, but getting raised up on becoming apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, not where they get a yay me degree at the end of it, but they leave that place knowing how to heal cancer, knowing how to raise the dead, knowing how to cast out demons. Come on. Full of courage in a culture that says you have to be silent with the word of God. No. I'm talking about men and women that can leave a place like that, like the upper room where they come out of that place looking like drunk men with fire on their heads saying, here I am, world. You better look out because Jesus is coming soon. When I see a campus on every side of this city, not a massive mega church, but I see houses like this where family can be family. I'm telling you, $25 million, we can see something shift in a city. And I'm in faith to do it. I don't believe that if we put all our resources together in this room that can be done. I mean, I don't know what you make. You don't know what I make. But I believe it's thinking outside of the box and God saying, you know, there's going to be people that see the goodness of God. And I believe the majority of it will come from the outside. I'm on training centers, equipping centers. I see Hope Farms expanding and growing where cottages and business owners are able to come and be equipped. I see a campground for kids where they can come in the summertime and be hit with the spirit of revival from all over Canada. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we've got to connect with heaven's dream. It's a family that has the ability to minister to the from the cradle to the grave, from the infant to the elder. Because there's not a person in this room that God doesn't have a pre-designed destiny for your life. I don't care the age. I don't care the season. I don't care what you've been through. There's a pre-written, pre-described, pre-designed destiny that heaven has specifically for you. And it's connected to a corporate family. And we need to tap into that synergy and say, Father, release the word of the Lord so we can say what heaven says. Because as we decree it, it will be established. So I wrote down a couple things in worship. Why don't we stand up while we do this? And if we can have a musician. Makes it official and legit when there's a musician. A couple things that I felt like the Lord said we need to start decreeing and declaring. And then we're going to pray for those of you that are hungry for it and you have an appetite for it, for dreams. How many of you want that? You want dreams from heaven where God just starts to talk to you and when you're sleeping. I'm going to declare a couple things. I want you to say this with me. I am not a survivor. I am an agent of change. The answer for the world around me is the world within me. You believe that? Well, let's say it again. I'm not a survivor. I am an agent of change. The answer for the world around me is the world within me. And the kingdom of God is within me. Amen. You know what that means? That means you have diplomatic immunity. That means you're an ambassador, the scripture says. An ambassador of heaven to earth. You know what that means? That means that the laws of this world do not apply to you. When I go preach all over the world, I used to do it a whole lot more than I do now. All my friends say, how come you don't go to the nations? I'm like, I'm an American living in Canada. I'm technically a missionary. I am in the nations. But I used to go to Brazil and South America and Africa, all over the place, and preach all the time. And one of the things that they tell you when you go is that if you ever get in any trouble, find a U.S. embassy. For Canada, find a Canadian embassy. And what a Canadian embassy in another country does is they have agreements, international agreements, that you can be in Ghana, West Africa, and if you find the Canadian embassy and you're on that property, you are no longer on Ghana, West African soil. You are on Canadian soil as long as you're on that property. In a whole nother nation across another ocean, but you are technically, legally, on soil that isn't African soil, it's Canadian dirt. And the laws of Canada apply to you there, not the laws of Africa. And an ambassador is someone who represents Canada that lives there as a diplomat and lives there, and that individual is not under the law of Africa. They hold to the laws of Canada, even though they're in another nation. And so an ambassador has diplomatic immunity. And what diplomatic immunity is that if he is driving down the road and he gets pulled over for speeding, or she gets pulled over for speeding, and they try to write them a ticket, they say, no, sorry. They pull out their diplomatic immunity card. And they say, the laws of this land don't apply to me because I'm an ambassador. I have diplomatic immunity. Send the bill somewhere else. I can't take it from you. And Jesus declares over us that we're ambassadors of heaven to earth. Do you know what that means? I'm not on earth's soil. I'm on heaven's soil. That's why Jesus declared, the Father declared to Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Because the ground you're standing on is not really the earth's ground. You're on holy ground. It's heaven's ground right here on earth because there's diplomatic immunity. That's why Jesus, everywhere he went, he was able to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Why? Because the laws of this earth he wasn't subject to, because he had diplomatic immunity. And he says, this is you. This is your assignment. This is your purpose. You have diplomatic immunity because you're an ambassador. So when sickness and cancer and poverty and all kinds of confusion and hope deferred and and division and suicidal thoughts try to come knocking at your door, and it's Satan saying, hey, these are laws here on this earth. You can say, no, I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I have diplomatic immunity. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, because the soil I'm standing on is holy ground, because I have diplomatic immunity. Come on, when you think that way, it shifts things in how you talk. And so when you say this and you say, I'm not a survivor, I'm an agent of change. When you know that, you have revelation of diplomatic immunity, that becomes real in your decree. So one more time, I am not a survivor. I am an agent of change. The answer for the world around me is the world in me. Number two, ready? I live in obedience to my heavenly Father, nothing more and nothing less. Heaven is with me and will back me up, because I live to please my Father in heaven. Oh, you feel that? It's good. In him was life. That's where you say it. But there's still decree. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now in me is life, and I am the light of men. Come on, you got to believe that. Just say this with me. No weapon formed against me has any ability to prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, he will condemn. Come on, do you believe that? No weapon. No weapon. You could stop saying it now. No weapon. Trying to quiet my voice so you know it's not. No weapon. I love how you quieted it too. No weapon. Father, give us the capacity to receive what heaven is declaring over us. Well, now, those of you that are hungry for dream language, or the dreams, visions, where God will start to talk to you, you're hungry for that. I just want you to lift your hands. Father, you see the hunger in the room. Lord, I believe this is the key. I believe that there's going to be prophetic unction, dreams and visions in the night, God, that helps shift this church forward. God, I believe you're going to begin to give intercessors and prophets and teachers and, Lord, those in this church. God, you're going to give business leaders dreams on how to advance and move forward, God. Father, you're going to show them the right connection and right business deal and the right people they're supposed to go talk to. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would unlock the dream realm over this house. Unlock it now. Unlock it now. Father, unlock the mind. Unlock the spirit, Father, to be able to receive what heaven is saying and declaring over your sons and daughters. Abba, I thank you. I even make declaration that tonight there's going to be prophetic dreams as a witness of this moment. That tonight, even in faith, begin to get a journal and keep it by your bed. Because you may wake up in the middle of the night as heaven's talking to you. Write it down. God, help us value this gift and value this grace. We want to partner with what you're saying for us individually and corporately. Just receive it into your heart. Just receive it by faith. Just say this with me. I receive the dream realm anointing. God, catch me up in the dream realm. One more testimony. I shared it last week, and then we're going to close. I shared this last week. Maybe you heard it. If you did, great. You're going to hear it again. There's a lady in Brazil that was with our team, and this lady sent this video to us by way of Tracy. They recorded this, but this lady in Brazil, I know the lady. She was one of our cooks there for several years, part of the church there, the Summit Sao Paulo. And in the dream, she was in Edmonton, and she said that she was with a very rich friend, and they came to the Summit. And she said she walked into the doors of the church, and when I saw her, I began to say, hey, come up here, greet the people. And she said, no, my English is really bad. My English is bad. I can't do that. But the whole time I was talking from the stage in Portuguese. And so she turned around afraid to go to the back, and I said, stop. Miriam's her name, right? Miriam. I think her name's Miriam. And I stopped her. I said, Miriam, stop. And in the dream, her arm is not fully healed, as in real life. She can't move her arm, but about like this. She can't lift it, her arm, or anything like that. And I remember this because of several surgeries she had and just some stuff. I remember this about her. And in the dream, I look at her and I said, "Arm, be resurrected in the name of Jesus. Arm, be resurrected in the name of Jesus." And immediately in the dream, her arm gets healed. She wakes up out of the dream the next morning and her arm is completely healed. She's got full mobility in her arm. They sent a video showing her arm having full extension and full mobility. Come on, I'm telling you, this is the dream anointing, that people, even in other nations, can have a dream about being present right here and getting healed. Come on, God can take you up in the dream realm. And actually, I believe this sounds weird to people. I don't care, because he's out of a dimension called time and space. He's outside of time and space. That's why he's the restorer of the years that the locust, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm ate away. Meaning he can go back in your past, fix the mess that you made. Come on. He doesn't change the circumstance, but he fixes the outcome and the years that the locust and the caterpillar ate away. And when you say yes to him today, it was just like you never said no to him yesterday, because he fixes the whole path for you to be right where you need to be, as though you never made a mistake, because he's outside of time. He's outside of time. So Lord, we want that. We receive that in Jesus' name. Well, if you want that, just shout to the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Can our prayer and altar team, if you guys can come down, we're going to open the altars in just a moment. We have a newcomer's room right over here to your right, my left. If you're a first-time visitor, or you've been coming maybe for a couple weeks, but you haven't made it back there, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to get to know you. If you could, in just a few moments after service, meet our team over there. We have a free coffee for you at our Holy Grounds Cafe. And Holy Grounds Cafe makes every day better, I promise you. So good. Also, every week at 11:05, if you've been coming to the Summit and you're saying, you know what, I'm really connecting with the house, I'm connecting with the family, and we don't do church membership here. I don't believe church membership is a biblical thing. You know, to be a member of a church, you sign your name on a piece of paper, but we're a member of a body, and, you know, and so we connect to him as the head. But if you feel like this is the specific place where you connect as the body, we do have Next Steps classes every single week. They're on a four-week rotation right in the back, that back room, and they're at 11:05. So if you come to the 11:30 service, come a little early, jump in. You could jump in at any time. We go over the history, the DNA, the vision, the church culture, all that, and they're going all through the summer, so you can jump in at any time. We'd love to have you back there and get to know you. Hope to connect with you that way. Awesome. Oh, yeah. Almost forgot. Dads, on the way out, there's a Yeti cooler outside, and I cleaned it really, really well, by the way, so you're not going to get any kind of blood or anything on you. But we have some Dad's root beers, and they're in that Yeti cooler. I promise, I scrubbed it hard, because you don't want to know what was in it a couple weeks ago. But on your way out, we have a Dad's cookie and a Dad's root beer. You guys can grab one on your way out. Again, happy Father's Day. We love you. We want to celebrate you. We're going to open the altars now. If you need prayer, ministry of any way, any kind, any sort, if you have healing that you need in your body, I want to invite you to the front, get ministry. If you are just here and you're saying, you know, I want to touch and agree with one of these leaders, the altars are going to be open as we dismiss. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, I pray that you go with your people today. Lord, continue to unlock the possibility of faith in us to believe you for whatever you say over our life. In Jesus' name, amen.